If I saw highly deadly black tarantula, I would absolutely shit myself, then collapse, then shit myself again, then die.
I'm probably going to have to agree with this guy. I would not appreciate seeing any sort of...
You are listening to the Obscure Gentlemen, a podcast dedicated to pop culture and filtering it through the eyes.
You got it.
And ears of the internet. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez. And who might you be?
I am Alex Mitchell.
So we got a Patreon, patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. If you want to help support the podcast and the webcomic, please become a patron. We have some nice perks for you there. Podcast, hit subscribe, hit the stars, leave a review. Do what you got to do, and that would be pretty cool, and we appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Take it away, Antonio.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Gang bang!
It was a firefight!
But I don't want to be a pirate!
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How can you snap?
This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat.
Oh, look. Rocks.
Game over.
You lose. Good day, sir.
No.
They're still interesting.
So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Yeah.
Which... I kind of at first didn't like. I was like,
When you told me about it, I was like, I don't give a shit.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I've seen the first movie on FX. I saw it there, and the whole movie was very dark. Everything was like kind of gritty and real and down to earth, but still with big like action sequences. But it felt like a very weirdly toned movie. So this trailer comes out of the Shadows, appropriately titled, very bright,
vibrant,
very cartoony. Very
when I saw like Nickelodeon Studios at the front, yeah. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Okay,
they really dropped the whole grit feel,
yeah,
and now it looks like the cartoon come to life.
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady look awesome. I think,
and they're dressed cartoony
even before they become themselves. Yeah. They look like
the turtle cartoon. Van is shooting sewer crates.
Yeah.
There are Krang ships flying around.
Yeah.
The foot soldiers look like foot soldiers.
They look like ninjas now.
They don't look like tactical military, yeah. Paramilitary.
And the turtles, I think, are shorter now, aren't they?
They are. They're not, like, as massively freaky.
Yeah.
And also, they've softened a lot of their features, I've noticed.
I caught that, yeah.
Yeah.
They look friendlier.
They do. They look friendlier. Everything in this movie seems, like, happier, it seems.
It just seems like a fun movie.
It does. And
It's always nice to see Stephen Amell smiling, because he never smiles on Arrow.
But yeah, so Casey Jones is in it with the cartoon mask, not a normal hockey mask.
Yeah.
Like an actual, like, molded looking, which is made. Baxter Stockman is being played by Tyler Perry, and he's being bonkers and silly. Everyone is being silly. And Shredder, you get a brief, like, shot of him and stuff, and Shredder's now being played by a Japanese dude. But yeah, it looks fun.
It got me to want to see it.
Yeah.
Which is what a trailer should do, but...
But it looks pretty fun. I mean, again,
It's probably not going to be amazing.
Oh, no, it looks like it'll be a fun movie. Yeah, pretty cool trailer. Seems a lot of people are actually excited about it. They like the change in tone, so...
That's good.
The studio has listened, and that's kind of cool. So moving on to another big movie, X-Men Apocalypse. This looks boring.
It looks
generic.
Like, there you go. Because I wouldn't say boring, because
it's generic.
Yeah. Like, because I liked Days of Future Past.
Yeah. This is just like,
I've never been a big Apocalypse fan to begin with.
It's not just that. So. It doesn't. There's something about this that doesn't scream like big. Apocalypse.
It doesn't seem big to me.
See, with Apocalypse, it seems like you should have it be where it's like really big and important and mysterious and. This just makes it seem like, oh, random bad guy
of the week
opens portal,
yeah,
in the sky. And this though, it does feel by the numbers. It's like You have your bad guy. You have his four henchmen. They're not. The trailer doesn't hype up the whole Horseman of the Apocalypse thing. It just makes it seem like, oh, he just has four people that are with him.
They're colored differently. That's it.
It's like, why don't you make this like really like?
Like, how come? Like, I'm not
biblical. Really, I want a biblical thing from this.
You know what? It might be like that in the movie, but this trailer,
could be the trailer's cut badly.
Yeah.
And then we get some flashes of like Sophie Turner as Jean Grey.
Yeah.
We get some Cyclops.
We get a weird scene of Quicksilver running.
They shouldn't have chosen that shot for the trailer.
Yeah.
Because it was
a very dramatic trailer.
I imagine it'll work in movie.
Oh, yeah.
But seeing that in the trailer, it's like, it's just what you're saying in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Nightcrawler.
We get Nightcrawler. We get a shot of Beast again in his human form because he keeps taking that medicine. Here's my problem with Mystique. Man, for someone being proud of being a mutant, you sure don't like looking like one.
Yeah.
Beast, I can understand because his whole point.
He
doesn't want to look like that.
Yeah. Oh, and
okay. So the funny thing about this trailer that tries to be big and epic with all its boat horn sounds, trying to make it epic and make it huge, their big reveal is Professor X's bulb. It's like,
you gotta look at like Batman versus Superman. What? Oh, it's the Trinity standing together. Like, oh, all right, yeah. Captain America, it's them wailing the fuck out of like Iron Man.
Yeah,
and they're not winning. He's bald.
It's like the doors to the Cerebro open, and he's sitting there in his wheelchair and he's bald. It's like, yeah, you're bald now. Good job.
Yeah,
it's so anticlimactic but hilarious. Like, that was their money shot. Their money shot was Professor X is bald.
It didn't look good, by the way.
It wasn't. See, what I would have done is have Apocalypse be the reveal. Like, and in a very majestic sort of, like, terrifying way.
But when you're looking the way you do with that Apocalypse.
But see, I think it should have been something involving Apocalypse, not Professor X bald. It's like, James McAvoy, who's wearing an obvious wig in this movie, is bald.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, very, very strange. I mean,
I have more desire to see Ninja Turtles 2 than I do Apocalypse, and that's really
and
sad.
And the other problem is, again, we're back to black uniforms. But yeah, Ninja Turtles looks cool. This looks kind of dull and generic. So,
how sad.
Yeah. Moving on into unsung heroes of Star Wars. All right, so.
Dr. Cornelius Evazan was a human male from Alsacan. He was a promising cosmetic surgeon until he became gripped by madness and began practicing creative surgery on his patients, leaving his victims horribly disfigured.
Oh, okay.
After information concerning his cruel medical experiments came to light, his face was hideously scarred in an encounter with a bounty hunter. The Aqualish thug Pondo Baba rescued Evazan from the hunter, following which the two formed an uneasy partnership and began smuggling spice for the crime lord Jabba the Hutt, earning Evazan the death sentence on 12 star systems.
By the way, for those who don't know what spice is, if you're listening and you're like, spice? Like pepper? No, spice is drugs in Star Wars.
Is it?
It is.
Is that canon now? Then again, none of these guys I'm talking about are canon.
Why would Han Solo risk himself to like smuggle pepper and salt?
Because
and, like,
the spice must
bay
flow.
Leaves.
Bay leaves.
Alright.
During the reign of the Galactic Empire, Evazan and Baba were patrons in the Mos Eisley Cantina on Tatooine.
Oh, God.
When a drunk Baba decided to pick a fight with a local farmhand named Luke Skywalker, Evazan quickly escalated the conflict, boasting the pair's notoriety before threatening the boy.
Oh my God, this is the pig-nose dude?
Skywalker's guardian, a hermit named Obi-Wan Kenobi, attempted to calm tensions, but this only infuriated the pair of dangerous criminals. These are dangerous criminals.
Is this seriously? My friend doesn't like? Is this him?
Yes. Evazan flung the farm boy aside, and the pirates drew their blaster pistols on the wizened old man, in secret one of the few remaining Jedi masters. But Kenobi used his lightsaber to sever Baba's right arm and kill Evazan with a slash across the torso before they could discharge their weapons to the surprise of the cantina's patron. So, yeah, he's a surgeon. Apparently, he had his own clinic in Pons Aura.
This guy actually was a
he was a
well-to-do fellow.
Yeah. Until he became gripped with madness.
He got space madness. He started... What was he doing to people?
He was performing cosmetic surgery, and then he started doing, like, weird enhancements.
There was, like, a weird, like, a title you gave. He started doing, like, something surgeries.
Like, No, it just said, like, special enhancements.
That's okay. And wait, what happened?
Creative surgery.
Yeah, what... Okay, and then his face...
Yeah, some, like, bounty hunter scar.
But it turned into, like, a pig... What?
Yeah, I see. I thought he was just a guy.
I thought he was a... That was, like, a rape... Well, okay, so he was a Star Wars human, and he was a surgeon. Obi-Wan
Who became gripped with madness, though. Which they don't...
So he was mentally ill.
Yeah.
So Obi-Wan killed a mentally ill person.
Well, yes.
Oh, my God. Obi-Wan killed two mentally ill people. Obi-Wan killed... he maimed Anakin, who's clearly mentally ill, and he maimed Dr. Cornelius.
Yes.
And I don't like saying that, by the way, Dr. Cornelius.
He's a good man in Planet of the Apes. He's not so good here.
All right, so now I know the story about him, and every time I watch the movie, I'll feel a little bad for him. He's just a guy who went insane to get medication.
So I have a quote for you.
Oh.
Okay. The lieutenant and I once knew a very fine human pilot who went by Piggy. There's no derogatory component to it in this squadron. Rather, it's a badge of honor I hope you can live to. Wedge Antilles. Jektoto Porkins was a traitor and pilot from Bestine 4, who, along with other Bestines, was forced to abandon his homeworld when the Galactic Empire chose it as the site of a new military base. I notice whenever they just make a base, everyone's like, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here. Like, we can't just chill, like...
I would like...
Like, if you look at, like, Camp Pendleton out here, no one in that area is like, we gotta leave the Marines.
When they write about us, that's how it's gonna be, that we were at the base or something.
Yeah.
I would like one of these backstories to not be related to the Empire.
Or the Rebellion.
Yeah, in some way. Just be like, it was just a dude at a bar.
Yeah, good God.
All right, so.
Seeking the opportunity to strike back at the Empire because they put a base on his... On a planet. On a fucking planet. It's a huge planet. You couldn't just move to another part of the planet?
No, of course not.
The Empire has a base here. We have to go.
What it's like is, if during World War II, it's like, the Nazis are in Germany! We gotta go to the moon! It's like that.
It's pretty much that. Wow.
Alright.
They have to go to the moon. Seeking the opportunity to strike back at the Empire, Porkins joined the Alliance to restore the Republic and was assigned to Tirfon Rebel Outpost for pilot training with the Tirfon Yellow Aces. His skill at low-altitude strafing runs and his rotund physique earned him the nicknames Belly Runner and Piggy. After completion of the Death Star's...
Piggy?
Yeah.
Wow, Porkins isn't even a nickname.
That's, no, that's his real name. That's
sad.
After completion of the Empire's Death Star, the Yellow Aces were taken to fully active status and transferred to fill gaps in pilot rosters on other Rebel bases. When Porkins' good friend Wes Jansen was taken ill with a case of Heskin fever, Porkins was given his friend's assignment instead and transferred to Red Squadron, operating out of the Great Temple on Yavin 4.
Oh, Red Squadron.
Porkins soon took part in his first missions with Red Squadron, working with Biggs Darklighter, Wedge Antilles, Ceci Eris, to help retrieve a number of astromech droids from the smuggler Nera Dantels on Kaminor. The group returned to Yavin 4 just before the arrival of the Death Star in the Yavin system on a mission to destroy the Rebel base. Porkins flew as Red 6 during the Battle of Yavin, his skills at strafing aiding the Rebels early in battle. However, when his T-65 X-Wing Starfighter was struck by debris, leaving him with several mechanical and computer malfunctions, Porkins was hit by an enemy turbo laser fire and was killed. The legacy of
Wait, Porkins. So he was a good pilot?
Yeah. Apparently, he wasn't just a jobber. To me, it just looked like they had, like no guys and just sent whoever they could up there.
I'm picturing this dude was just, like, a carpenter on the set or something. Hey, we need an extra pilot. Or he was, like, a teamster or something.
Actually, this guy was an actor.
Oh, wow.
At the end of this article, they actually say that he didn't want to put a bunch of makeup on, so...
Porkins.
Because he thought, like... He wanted to be, like, one of the TIE fighter pilots, and apparently, like, they said, like, well, if you don't want to put makeup on, stick around, we might need other roles. And I guess That was the one they decided to
put. We got a character named Porkins. It'd be perfect for you. It's like, did they write the role for him? Or what came first, Porkins or the actor? Because if it's the actor came first, that's just messed up. Like,
I feel like maybe that's the case.
That's...
Because, I mean, he had names like Richard Nixon or whatever. Richard yes, M. Nixon. So yes. I don't know if that's...
Richard M. Nixon.
I'm something. Pretty sure he didn't think all these names up.
Porkins.
So I'm on the legacy aspect of his page. And by the way, I just want to show you the image of his legacy is literally...
Is it blowing up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So here's Wedge again, addressing the members of Rogue Squadron.
Right, Wedge is named Wedge because George Lucas was eating potato wedges.
Right, yeah. I got you. Hey, these are pretty good. Wedge. There you go. You are elite pilots, and you are more than just that. But no matter who you are or how good you are, you will never be considered as good as Biggs Darklighter or Jack Porkins or anyone else who has died in service to Rogue Squadron. They are legends. This unit is a legend, and none of us are ever going to be able to be more than they are. A holographic memorial to Porkins, along with the other pilots killed during the mission, was installed in the Great Temple following the battle.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he was still included in the Rogue Squadron Memorial as late as 5 years after the Battle of Yavin. His actions during the Battle of Yavin saw him posthumously awarded the Kenobi Medallion,
what?
A medal created specifically to remember the sacrifices of those who fought at Yavin. His Kenobi medallion was hung with those of his comrades in the pilot's lounge at Tirfon Rebel Base. Red Squadron survivors Luke Skywalker and Wedge Antilles later founded Rogue Squadron. And though Porkins died before Rogue Squadron's formation, Antilles always considered him and the other members of Red Squadron to be among the first Rogues. Rogue Squadron named one of their maneuvers Porkins Formation in his memory.
Oh,
after Antilles and Jansen formed Wraith Squadron following the New Republic's capture of Coruscant, they informed the Gamorrean Wraith recruit. By the way, the Gamorreans are the pig guards.
Yeah.
So he's joining up with Wedge now. Yeah, Vort Sabing Ring. And there's a big B in the middle of his...
Yeah.
That's Star Wars for you. That they did not see the nickname of Piggy as an insult. Instead, it was a mark of respect, as the same nickname had once belonged to Porkins.
For a dude who didn't do anything, who just died, it's like, shouldn't Luke get the hologram?
Because he won. He blew up the fucking Death Star.
Luke and Han, it's weird that Porkins, who got hit by shrapnel and then blown up, receives all these awards when it's like... He didn't do anything. He didn't even keep them off of Luke's tail, really. He just,
Did he even down anyone?
He was like one of the first ones to die.
Okay.
I love the Gamorrean thing, the Gamorrean connection. It's like, oh my god. It's almost like this was written by a Biggs fan. By a Porkins fan. They're like, I really love Porkins. I gotta make sure that...
It's like they got Porkins for Christmas... And it's like that's their toy that they've been stuck with, and they've like deified him to the point where they got to this position.
This is the kind of thing where when like there's an extra on a film, and they give their character a bunch of backstory. This is like that, but mixed with like where they think that the character's very important.
Yeah,
I mean,
and the difference is it's actually been written. I don't know if it's canon anymore. It probably isn't. But it's still the fact that. It did get published as crazy.
And his nickname is Piggy.
And Belly Runner.
His Porkins was not enough.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I get it. He's fat.
You would think they'd call him Porker or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Pork. But instead...
I didn't even know pigs existed in Star Wars.
Apparently they do, I guess.
Enough to call someone who looks like that. Wouldn't that be like me saying a person looks like a different animal? And that'd be very racist, actually, wouldn't it? In fact, I know that happens.
The Gamorreans were all like, rah, 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 rah. Yeah.
So. Yeah, all right. That's Unsung Heroes.
That's Unsung Heroes. All right. So this week, we are going to be covering something that goes, again, back to our childhoods, like normal, like we normally do with these things. This is a show. It's a TV show that came on when we were children. We must have been like around 4 or 5. It actually still exists to this day, but in a different form. This is one that was actually from Australia, but for some reason we got it too.
Okay.
It's very weird. Its theme song was very catchy. There's no easy way to say this, but today we will be talking about Bananas in Pajamas.
Oh, fuck.
Bananas in pajamas are coming down the stairs. Bananas in pajamas are coming down in pairs. Bananas in pajamas are chasing teddy bears. 'Cause on Tuesdays they all try to catch them on the air.
So Bananas in Pajamas was this Australian kid show that was broadcast in the United States and in the UK and a few other countries.
I never seen it.
You never saw this when you were little?
Nah. You know what? I may have caught it like a couple times, but I don't think I was an avid watcher of it.
Here's the symbol. Well, because it might have been because of the way the story, I mean, the way it was shot. So you had the cartoon intro, and it's an Australian lady singing it. And then the bananas are chasing teddy bears down the stairs.
Okay.
They're big, two dudes in two bananas in pajamas chasing teddy bears.
Is it like Joe Bluth, like that kind of?
No, they're like banana people.
Oh.
And they got beady eyes.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, and they're chasing people. They're giant bananas with arms and legs.
This seems like something that would come from like Britain or any other place.
It's Australia, yeah.
Yeah, any other place that they've left their mark on.
And there's like two little boy bears and one little girl bear, and they're chasing them around the house and stuff.
Are they the bad guys? Are they like,
no? One's called B1 and one's called B2.
That's
banana one, banana two.
That's ridiculously unclever.
So, the show though was live action. It was people in two people in giant banana costumes, again, still beady eyes and stuff. Oh, hello, buddy one. Hello, buddy two. And then there's teddy bears, and every episode is like,
are the bears people, or are they like,
they're people in big bear costumes.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, like giant bear costumes. And they're always like, something's going on, and it's very typical children stuff, like, oh, we're going to build a house today.
I notice in these, in Barney and stuff like that, they're always like, out of the blue, mundane task.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're going to build a house.
And the thing is, like, the bears would be trying to do stuff, and then the bananas would try to help, and then the shenanigans would happen, but then there'd be a lesson. But typical children's show.
Yeah.
But it was something that, for people our age, but I guess it didn't affect, it didn't, this is something that didn't touch you at all. Or,
no.
You never came across it, and I might want to think, because you were little, because of the live action thing, maybe that's why you...
This persisted for a while. I always tuned out of live action stuff.
See, there were some little kids who, like, if it wasn't cartoons,
yeah,
they wouldn't do, especially if it's like children's programming. I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the intro is cartoon, but then the rest of it's like, whoa, people in big costumes.
Yeah.
It's like,
I think it may have been a bit too like out there for me, because I did like Barney as a kid for some reason.
Well, I mean, all kids.
You're, no, because
I liked it
retroactively. Everyone,
you don't
want to
say you did, but yeah
no, I like Barney.
I was a 3-year-old who liked Barney. We had a Barney tape.
Yeah.
I saw the Barney movie in theaters with my sister.
I didn't see that.
I did. They had an egg with a creature coming out of it.
All right.
Kid was playing Game Boy, but that's all I remember about it. But yeah, I mean, these things kids watch, but you didn't watch it because, the cartoon appeal wasn't there. I watched it for some reason. I must have been like 3 or 4, and to me it was like, and then I'd sing the song. See, in my memories, it's a dude singing the theme song.
Really?
It's a lady singing the
theme song. Huh.
And it didn't occur to me that they were even Australian when I was little. I thought they're just,
I don't think you noticed things like that back then.
It's an Australian show. Like,
And it's still going on?
Yeah, now it's in CGI, though.
Oh.
Really bad CGI.
Oh. Ooh.
But, I mean, kids like it, I guess.
Yeah.
They've had, like, two different incarnations since that original run, which I think it was, like, 8 seasons or something. It lasted pretty long.
Children's shows tend to last a while, though, I noticed.
Yeah,
like,
but they stopped airing them over here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still, I guess it's an Australian children's institution. So they're wearing striped pajamas, and coincidentally, when I was finding stuff on YouTube, and that a thread on 4chan was made. Someone made a thread about, and so I have like a few stuff from there. So let's see what the whole business is here. When this first came out, I said, and he spells bananas wrong, bananas in your pajamas, and my mom got mad at me for it. That was back when I was a kid.
Yeah, you know what? Have you ever had something where you said something directly from TV and your parents got mad at you for it?
Or you're like misunderstood. I mean, when you're little, that happens all the time. Like, why did you say that? It's like, what did I do wrong? And you don't know what you did wrong.
Yeah, and then you never want to say anything ever again for the rest of your life. Yeah.
That's why you don't talk anymore.
No. I don't.
What people don't know is that Alex here uses a... He types in, and
it's a very advanced computer.
Yeah, this isn't his real voice.
Stephen Hawking, for whatever reason. Actually, I read that people expect him to have the shitty robot voice, so that's why he still uses it.
That actually is true. Yeah. Which is kind of weird.
Hey, I want you to sound like shit, because I'm used to it on TV.
I imagine in front of his, like, family or people...
He uses, like, a more like, realistic
an elegant-sounding one?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, here's the next one. I used to watch Darkstalkers cartoon in the morning.
Oh.
Bananas in Pajamas replaced it when Darkstalkers was taken off the air. I am not fond of Bananas in Pajamas.
Says
Boko.
I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember the Darkstalkers, actually.
Yeah. No, I watched that cartoon, too.
Yeah. It's not as perverted as one might expect, though.
In my mind, I just remember it. I don't remember anything that happened.
Yeah.
So.
See, in my mind, I'm thinking like how they look in like Marvel vs. Capcom.
So this one's a comment tree. People responding.
Okay.
Oh fuck! How do we stop them? So here are the responses to. Here's how you stop the bananas and pajamas. You can't stop them. The first one. Peel them. You leave two banana peels at the bottom of the stairs.
I was in middle school. We had a teacher that was out for like a month. Apparently, she like fractured her spine or something. And I said, "Oh my god, that's so sad. What happened?" And it's like there was a banana peel, and she slipped on it. It really fucking happened. She slipped on a fucking banana peel.
That happened in real life.
Yeah,
was real.
And I was laughing for 5 minutes straight, and everyone thought I was the biggest... It's like, no one slips on...
No one's ever going to believe you, by the way.
No, I know.
Because it's one of those things where no one slips up.
Exactly. That's why I laughed so hard when I heard about it, because I was like, it's ridiculous.
All right, here's the last one from this comment tree. Okay, so we split them, and there's a picture of a banana split.
Nice.
And people responded with, how can you post that gore? Going to YouTube, Jebols says,
I find this so creepy. Now I'm 13 and watching it again. Bananas in pajamas are coming down the stairs, and then the teddy bears run away like they're scared? Like, FNAF.
I don't know.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, okay.
The children are in teddy bear suits with permanent smiles on their faces. But the bananas always catch them. I find that so creepy.
It is a very weird thing.
Explaining it to you, it sounds creepy.
No, it's not. But the thing is, I always find it, first of all, I want to say, I always find it funny whenever I said, I used to watch this when I was a kid. Now I'm 13, and it's like that always makes me laugh because you know, because I don't think they're that much older. It just doesn't, like, because I'm not looking at it right now, so it seems like...
I'm telling you, it's literally...
It's
two really bright and colorful bananas in a bright and colorful 90s-looking house running down the stairs chasing teddy bears.
Acting like they're scared.
No, they're just smiling, and it's like a fun chase.
So it's not even like a...
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So Michael says, is it just me? Or are those bananas looking like they're fixing to rape those teddy bears?
Of course.
Coming down the stairs with a purpose. Commando Slayer says, I had nightmares when I was a boy.
All right. That's all he says?
That's a statement someone should say, like, at a group dinner where everyone's talking and just, like, pleasantries, and then it gets kind of quiet, and someone just says that.
I had nightmares when I was a boy.
And then they
the like, thousand a, yard stare, yeah, just like and they're not looking at their food as they eat.
Tucker says, "I used to watch this. We all eating bananas.
We all eating bananas.
We all eating
when
bananas.
When we watch, we all eat." Okay.
Rafichida Tada says,
"Ta-da.
The bananas and pajamas are like my brother. Stupid, horrible, ugly."
Wow.
I gotta imagine it's like some little girl saying that.
That does seem like, "You're so stupid."
I mean, I wouldn't say the bananas and gems are ugly. They're just bananas with people. Well, not, they have smiley faces on them, essentially.
Again, I'm imagining something like that image you always see of the banana taking off the peel.
But no, but it's, these are just like, picture an actual smiley face with the classic look.
Oh,
on a banana.
Like, "Have a nice day," but, yeah, but it was a banana. Oh, that's innocent.
Yeah.
Why is this scaring people?
I don't... Vicky Plays Stuff says, "Bananas in pajamas, they watch you in your sleep. Bananas in pajamas, they make all children weep." And that's to the theme of the song.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man, they really hate this show.
Is
anyone saying anything positive about this?
The only things are like, "I liked this when I was little." It's weird how, like, there's a big consensus that this show is scary. And then there's like,
it doesn't seem serious, though. That's the thing.
Well,
is it?
There's random. I you can't tell. It's the internet. "Lame man hardness max hard," he says.
Nice.
"Back when anime wasn't shit."
Okay. I mean, when was this show made?
In the 90s. It was like 93, 94.
I get his sentiment, but it doesn't have any relevance.
Gloria says, "I love bananas, and I love wearing pajamas. So this show is always my favorite."
Great.
I mean, yeah, you know, if you're a person who really loves bananas and you really love pajamas,
two things that are completely unrelated,
this show is for you. But you have to love both bananas and pajamas.
If you don't like bears, you can fuck right off.
Yeah, see, bananas and pajamas are the key, though. Your love of bananas needs to be equal to your love of pajamas.
It's like poetry.
Yeah, and if you don't love bananas as much as pajamas, show's not gonna work.
It's not for you.
It will be scary. Maybe that's...
If you don't have an equal loving of both, it creates like a fear factor going in. All right.
There you go. We figured it out.
All right.
We need to tell the Australian government now.
You need to push bananas and pajamas
separately so they can love...
both equally. Yes.
So Fenrir Gauntlet says,
"Never noticed how sexy those two bears were even in my childhood."
Okay, again, I have to ask, what do these bears look like? Are they just bear costumes?
They look like teddy bears. One has overalls, one has a dress, one has a t-shirt. They look like bears.
Okay, this is just weird.
Like, and they're like, they look like giant teddy bears, like generic teddy bears.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a weird comment.
Professor Universe says, "You ready for what Professor Universe has to say?"
He's Professor Universe. He better have something good to
say. All right. "They're guys."
They are guys?
Yeah, they're guys.
Okay.
I mean, he's not wrong.
No. He really isn't like, "Hey, you guys." Like,
B1 and B2 are guys, I guess.
All right, they are.
Although they might be genderless, who knows? Maybe.
Then he's wrong.
But he's Professor Universe.
This is true.
You can't deny
it. No, I can't. I only have to go forward with this being full fact.
So Owl says...
Owl. Hoot.
"My baby cousin watches the animated version. I still tell her that the old version of Bananas in Pajamas is better. Plus, I tell her that the Bear in the Big Blue House and Wiggles are better than the new modern cartoons. Sadly, she doesn't understand me because she is too..."
That's great. That is amazing.
Imagine this dude, like,
hey, you gotta stop watching this right now. Don't you know there's better stuff on?
There is People's House is a better cartoon, even though it's not a cartoon. It really you is. Gotta watch it. You gotta watch The Wiggles. No, it's not a cartoon either.
Man, I just imagine a baby kind of just, like...
Is The Wiggles Australian also?
I think.
Or are they Kiwi?
I have no idea.
Are they from New Zealand? I don't know.
Oh, those dudes, right? Yeah,
fruit salad. Yummy, yeah, yummy, yummy.
Yeah, I think they might be from New Zealand, I think.
Or are they? Or are they Australian?
I don't know.
They...
We'll cover this someday.
Sky Skater says, "This is my freaking jam! You don't know how much I watch this. Watching it 21 years and it hasn't gotten old. It's me ringtone. I dress my bananas in pajamas every day. It's my life. I want to have a threesome with them. They rock the block. Old school."
This is a man that loves this show. So much so.
He dresses his bananas in pajamas.
See, what does that even mean?
And I'm pretty sure he's English because he just said me, it's me ringtone. So.
The Australians don't say me?
I don't think so. No.
Well.
They say my. Moi. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this guy's English. So he goes downstairs.
Puts. I imagine he has like a little pajama set made specifically for bananas.
I'm getting a banana, Mom. Why are you getting a banana? I'm gonna put it in pajamas. Why are you doing that? Because it belongs in pajamas, Mum. The bananas belong in pajamas. Like, that's probably the conversation he's having.
Oh, my goodness. Again, I'm taking this too seriously, aren't I? Because I'm imagining this really happening. I don't want this to happen.
Listen to me, mate. One day, we're gonna have a threesome with bananas in pajamas. It's gonna happen, mate. I'm gonna do it. It's gonna happen. Don't deny me that. Don't deny me that, mate. Threesome, bananas, pajamas, gonna happen. They rock the block old school, mate. They do.
This is great.
So Sky Skater, that's who you want us to know. Kathy says, "The bananas are exactly how I picture pedophiles to be like."
All right. Again.
No. I don't even want to address that. I want to address... This lady thinks pedophiles are giant bananas in pajamas.
Well,
honey, stay away from the Chiquita Banana Man. He's probably a pedophile.
Those are pedophiles on that counter over there.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of...
You're only a pedophile if you're dressed like a banana in pajamas.
Of course.
If you're a banana with no pajamas, you're good.
You're solid.
You're good. Because once bananas put on pajamas, they transform and they want to do horrible things.
Yeah, they do.
So,
wow.
So, bananas, please avoid. Please be naked. So, Cedric says,
"Peel them."
"I can't believe the bananas were rapist. Really chasing teddy bears for what money? And I also can't believe I used to just like the bananas by themselves without the bears until now I found out da were rapist."
This guy really believed that lady. I have no idea what he's trying. I get what he's saying, but it's like...
Beck W says, "For some reason, I didn't think it would be actual bananas wearing pajamas."
What were you expecting? What would you expect?
The show is called Bananas and Pajamas. I bet it's about hunters living in Alaska. Yeah, that's my prediction.
Wait, what? It's bananas and pajamas? Like, literally? I thought that was just a metaphor.
That's horrible. Can you tell me Married with Children is about a guy who's married and has children? That's... How could that be?
The Big Bang Theory is actually about the Big Bang Theory. What a surprise.
Oh, God. Clinton says, "I literally love this! This is my life! I want to be Banana One."
Not Banana Two, because fuck that guy, apparently.
He is B1. He wants to be B1. And I hope his dreams come true.
I do too.
Clinton, I hope you...
Do you think these are like costumes that are popular over there, like for Halloween?
Probably.
Oh, that's weird.
Damn. Yeah.
See, I never think about Halloween in other countries.
We got banana costumes out here, but they're just bananas.
Yeah, yeah. We're a hot dog, you know? It's like...
Yeah, those are always awesome.
Yeah.
Julie says, "OMG, bananas in pajamas are just not natural. Who agrees with me?"
Yeah, I think science would agree with you there too.
No, don't you know when bananas grow on trees, they're fitted with pajamas.
So that's why we have like people.
The banana pickers have to take the pajamas off.
Yeah, okay.
And then the pajamas are sent to like doll factories.
So it's recycling.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Okay. So it is natural. It's clearly natural. Evolution did that. Evolution of the fruit. Bananas used to be tiny, and then we crossbred them with pajamas.
So they're warm when they come out of the tree.
So they get to be bigger because of it.
Oh, nice.
James says, I remember when I actually put a banana in my footy pajamas as a kid. Did not turn out well.
Here's the thing. I gotta imagine, where did he put it? Did he put it like?
I imagine put it in his foot area.
Yeah, and he stepped on it, right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, I'm picturing a little kid who's probably thinking, like, maybe I'll turn into a banana. And then it's like,
what do you think? Why do you want to be a banana? They go bad in like a week.
But the bananas in pajamas, like, look like they're having fun.
How high do you think I gotta think of a new show. I gotta put peanut butter in ponchos. Like, what am I gonna do? Like
that sounds like a cooking show.
It's like, what am I, like a talking jar of peanut butter in a Mexican poncho? It's like what am I?
Oh my god, I want to watch that. That sounds amazing.
Sounds stupid. God,
peanut butter.
There are people making shows about like Exo Squad or whatever. There are people creating these amazing concepts, even simple ones like talking dinosaurs and all that. And you got like a fucking fruit in clothes. It's like, all right,
tomatoes in suits.
Yeah, actually, that sounds cool.
Okay, so
potatoes and potato sacks.
Yeah, that's natural. That's life.
They're naturally grown in those burlap things.
Unknown profile name says, I remember on my 5th or 4th birthday, I invited the entire kindergarten over to my house, and everybody wore their pajamas, and we ate bananas and watched the show. It was the best day of my life. It was the only day of my life.
Oh my god.
That sounds like a horrible birthday party, by the way.
No, yeah, because it's like, when you think about it, like, every time you try, like, yeah, we're all going to watch this, when you think about it, that's not fun.
It's not just that, it's like, and then they all get bananas. Like, when you're a kid, that's not a fun snack, I don't think.
No, I mean, I like bananas.
It was just like, oh, hey, you want a banana? Okay.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
It wasn't like, yeah! But then again, if you're a Bananas and Pajamas fan, that must be the greatest snack in the world. I'm eating what I love!
That's sick. Talking pizza. Talking pizza TV show and order pizza. Yay.
Pizzas and pants.
Pizzas and pants. That's...
Okay, so Camarian Zuka says, I wouldn't be surprised if kids start to put bananas in the same category as bears.
The same category. What does that even mean?
It means they're gonna, whenever they talk about bears.
Hey! You guys talk about grizzlies and black bears. Do you guys like plantains?
I imagine you're in like a wildlife class or something, and someone's like you talk about the Kodiak and the polar bear and all these. Someone raises their hands.
What about bananas?
What?
No, wait, what about them?
Well, they...
Bananas, right? Bears? Bananas? Come on.
What?
No, you know. Come on. Bananas, yeah.
I'd have to imagine how awkward that would have been if that's a real... Obviously, that wouldn't happen because this is just going off...
All right, guys. We're going camping. You gotta watch out for one thing. There's wild bananas out there. So we're gonna hang our fruit in the trees. Hope the bananas don't get to them.
Hope the bananas don't get to the bears.
No, to the food. Because the bananas, they're going to ravage the campsite.
Actual giant walking, talking bananas. But so, will they be in pajamas? Or is that just a weird fabrication
of
TV? That only in TV land, the crazy wonderland.
And so the bananas are like, that's a stereotype!
We don't wear pajamas.
Okay, so... Edward says, I remember watching this as a kid, coming up with theories why the bananas could talk and wear pajamas. Radiation was what I came up with. They were normal bananas, and then one day they were exposed to high levels of radiation. Their bodies morph and they couldn't change back. The first thing they wore was pajamas, and they loved it so much that they never took them off.
He's got a good point.
I believe him.
He was bitten by a radioactive pajama.
No, so what happened was in Australia, and it's a secret that we don't know about, they had atomic wars
in Australia.
In the outback.
Yeah.
And
that's why Mad Max is a thing.
Some guy had two bananas that he accidentally left on the ground when he was in the outback. And as soon as he was working at the test facility site, he left, and the radiation struck the bananas, and everyone died in that area in the outback. But then he came across like a locker in the facility. They came across, and then they put the pajamas on, and they're like, hey, "This is comfortable.
This is what we wear."
And so then they found a house with teddy bears,
and decided to chase them.
That's the origin.
I think if I ever watched this show, I would hate it. That sounds more interesting than what I'm being told about, but that I still think this show's mindless.
So Coy says, I'm offended. This has me triggered. My family was attacked by bananas, you insensitive jerk.
Alright. That's I mean, that's a joke.
No, remember, bananas are bears.
Oh, yes.
They are attacking people.
We went out camping in Yellowstone.
Yep. And then just
a herd of
bananas.
What do you say, a herd of bears?
A pack of bananas. A
pack of bananas, yes.
A bushel of bananas. What are they?
Bunch.
A bunch of bananas. A banana bunch. They came and they attacked. It's just, see, this is... When you put these things up, you do need a trigger warning because some people do get affected by banana attacks. I mean, hey, you saw a teacher slip on a banana once?
I did.
That's...
When you listen to Deo, he says, come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me bear.
Yes! He totally does. Alright, so here's the final one. And this is... this is by Guy Fieri's biggest fan.
Oh, so this is gonna be a... interesting comment. I can tell already.
I can't even get approved for a credit card and they let these assholes buy property?
In cartoons and TV shows, everyone can own a house. That's an amazing comment right there.
Bananas and pajamas.
They exist, and we may confuse them with bears from time to time.
Yes, and so you got to be careful when you're out camping. They're out there. They mean no harm, but you got to be careful. It's like with bears. Bears mean no harm. Bananas mean no harm.
Just be careful.
And when you eat a banana,
there's gonna be a documentary about a guy who lives among the bananas, and he learns to love them and trust them, but then he gets eaten by the bananas.
Yeah. So you got to be careful. I mean, when you eat a banana, remember what you're eating, and know that it has feelings
you eat what you love.
You do. You also do that. So it's a delicate balance, and one day when the banana eats you, you have to accept it.
You'll know that that's your lot in life.
But
it is the way of the world.
But if you're like us, you peel the fuck out of them,
mm-hmm.
and you murder them.
You gore them to death.
Because we don't like bananas here.
We don't.
Or, no, we don't like sentient bananas.
No.
Because if you're a live person and you're a banana, you're dead to us.
Mm-hmm. But if you like bananas and pajamas, you'll like this show.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you will be afraid of it.
Exactly. I think that's all there is to say about bananas and pajamas.
I think we've said far more about this show than anyone has ever said about this show.
I never want to say the
words bananas or pajamas ever again.
No.
Yeah, neither do I.
All right, so to close things off...
we have Wrestling Quarter. It's back.
It's back.
And better than ever. So,
I'm ready.
I decided to watch a video on YouTube called Dead Wrestler Beach.
No.
Now, it's actually a lot nicer than it sounds. It's about this kid. It's an animated thing, this song that this guy sang about this kid going to a beach where it's nothing but the wrestlers of the past who've come and gone. And,
yeah.
You know, they're just enjoying essentially a beach party, and he loves it there, and he never wants to leave.
All right.
So, it's a nice video. It's kind of touching, surprisingly. But the comments in the video section are those are the weird things. So Plaw Law says, why is it named Dead? So, someone responds, because they're all dead. Let's see.
Okay.
All of these wrestlers are dead, and it's called Dead Wrestler Island. How I wonder why it's called that. And Plaw says, okay, it's just a question. Dave responds, it's a stupid question with an obvious answer. And then someone chimes in, actually, it's a beach, not an island. Whatever. You know what I mean, Dave continues. So Plaw, originally, now he just says, Dave, dude, don't be rude. Dave says, up yours. Here's another one.
That's nice.
I don't know who any of these people are. There's a lot of comments like that where I don't know a single fucking person. Yeah. I notice a lot of people now like to say, like, I'm completely ignorant.
They like to declare how blue is area.
Yeah, it's really weird. As someone who has not seen a single match of wrestling, I find this extremely confusing and boring.
Okay.
I found a Spanish comment, but I didn't understand it, so I put it in Google Translate.
Oh, why would you do that?
So here's what it said. Racism for Mexicans. What has happened to the holy? And someone responds, no. You guys forgot about Hulk Hogan's career. Ha ha ha. And then someone just says, fuck you.
This week's Wrestling Corner is all about not taking shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
They could have added John Cena. Someone responds, of course. He's not dead. Another person responds, he's also not a wrestler.
Oh my god. Okay.
Why no Rey Mysterio? And then he makes a sad face. And someone says, Rey Mysterio is not dead. So there's a lot of no more taking shit here.
Oh, Jesus.
Too soon with the Rowdy Roddy Piper. He's dead.
How is it too soon to say that he's dead?
It's not like, again, I want to let you know, none of these things are offensive. They're literally just...
Hey! Don't say that he's dead!
It's too soon! So this is what heaven is like. And someone responds, nope, nope, nope. And then says, why is Benoit there? Because Benoit does actually get mentioned.
Okay.
And someone then responds, because Benoit got murdered and was framed. So, to those of you who are listening that aren't aware, Chris Benoit is a man that suffered numerous concussions and is famously noted for murdering himself and killing his wife and son.
Yeah.
By the way, and there's a lot of people on here who don't believe that he's... That he actually...
I've read stuff, people saying that...
That was, Kevin Sullivan murdered him. Or so. It's really weird, and I'm not even done with Benoit yet, but I'll get into that in a bit. You made me crit. He's supposed to say cry. And I am a man.
Okay.
Why do none of the wrestlers have nipples? And it's just the animation, so okay. I guess he didn't. And then someone responds... Nipples are for the living.
That is fun. Yeah, that's true. I believe it. If you're when you're dead, they cut off your nipples.
They do.
And they put them on your eyes, because that's how you go to the underworld.
Here's Benoit.
Oh, no.
Chris Benoit, someone says. One of the greatest wrestlers to ever live.
It's kind
of
true. Yeah, he's
he was
good.
Very good. You're an ignorant retard who knows nothing... You'd call him a monster. But even if you do that, would be attached to his personal life, not his professional one. Someone then responds, steps to preserve your legacy as a professional wrestler. Number one, don't kill children.
I agree.
That the original poster says, you could continue being ignorant retards who obviously know nothing about Benoit, or you can do actual research for yourself instead of believing everything you hear. I respect Benoit more than I'd ever respect any of you. This goes back and forth for a lot, by the way.
I imagine.
This goes back and forth between these two for like a while now. And then
they're still doing it. They're still going back and forth.
Yeah. So then he says, the other person says, it ultimately doesn't matter how good of a wrestler he was. You murder a child, that ruins any good you've ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
The original poster says, his processional life, I believe he okay. spelled that wrong, should not suffer because of his private life. Not at all. His private life does not take away from his professional life and its achievements. But whatever you say. The original, the person responding then says, John Wayne Gacy was a good clown. I don't know why his killing people should take away from the great job he did as a clown. Not the
That deserves an applause. Oh, that is beautiful. That is... How is he going to fight back at that?
Well, I'll show you. Not the same thing at all. Benoit was an extremely skilled technical wrestler, not a clown. Your comparison is void.
Oh my god, it went over his head. The point went over his head.
And then the guy that responds just says, if only Gacy could have thrown a German suplex. Alright.
Oh man, that's...
And that is Wrestling Corner.
Yeah, that...
John Wayne Gacy was a good clown.
So that brings us to the end of another... pulse-pounding episode of The Obscure Gentleman. So let's take it back to where we all began.
Do-do-do-do. Take it back.
If I saw Highly Deadly Black Tarantula, I would absolutely shit myself, then collapse, then shit myself again, then die.
I agree. Like I said earlier, I don't know, Tarantula by some metal band. That sounds like something that...
This is Harry Belafonte with the Banana Boat song.
I love that I mentioned this earlier.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and
Day, oh.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, is a day, is a day, is a
day. Daylight come and me want go home.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.